Here with Pat Ryan Key. Is that how you say it?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for joining me.
It was my pleasure. I appreciate you making the time.
Now, Pat, tell me about yourself in general. You have been a recording artist for a while, but tell me, how you got into music and the sort of music that you typically play.
Sure. My whole existence, becoming self-aware, I was just immersed in music. My father, he's just an avid music lover, and he's practically a human encyclopedia of music trivia for the past 80 years of the industry, so it was just kind of became second nature. And I remember sitting in school, and I'd always be distracted because I'd have a melody floating around in my head. And I remember one time I was in ninth grade and I was playing a drum solo on my school desk. And once I got out of my head, the whole class is staring at me. The teacher's like, "Bravo, are you done?" This has just always been inherent, and it's just in my spirit.
Yeah,
But
sounds very natural for you.
to some, it might seem like I take it for granted because a lot of the times, some of the most moving pieces I've ever composed literally felt like it came out of thin air, and I've learned to chase the spirit when it moves me, because 9 times out of 10, I'll probably forget it if I don't document that moment. I've been playing music for over 20 years now, but I didn't really apply myself in the sense of pursuing it as a craft, if you will, until after I graduated from the University of Arkansas. And it's just a series of circumstances that kind of led to being able to record my own music and learn how to piece it together off the cuff. And sometimes that I feel, and that's the best way for myself, personally.
So, did you study music at the U of A?
I did not.
Okay.
I studied business, and remember my first couple of years in college, and my chemistry teacher called me a wizard, and calculus too kind of derailed my future, if you will. And I went into business instead. And I think it was good because it taught me how to think for myself and apply myself and just being wise, with my money and my time. And I don't have any regrets. I'm going to go there,
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of beneficial things about studying business and applying it to the music industry that you were becoming a part of in later.
Sure.
Excuse me here. So tell me your first instruments and how you got into songwriting.
Well, when I was 14, I got a bass guitar, and at that time it was like the height of nu metal and alternative music. So Stone Temple Pilots and Soundgarden and Deftones and Nirvana, just that whole wave just kind of ended, and it shifted into this more aggressive material. And naturally, I was just drawn to that. I had a best friend that lived down the street, and his father was a professional musician. And I'd always make excuses to go to his house because he had a drum set and play on the guitars there. And instead of, being outside or inside playing video games, I was hanging out with my musician friends. And my friend, his name's Pat Callison, he introduced me to Blink-182 and Incubus, Rage Against the Machine. And so we started jamming together. And then after school, I'd get home, plug in my bass guitar, and I'd be practicing and learning all the songs that I loved, But then I remember it was 10th grade, And I met another good friend of mine, Johnny Ayala, and he would see me, kind of just drum, air drum, looking like a dork. And he was like, "Hey, I actually have a drum set." And so we played Nirvana all the time. And that kind of helped me develop my skills in turn. It's a lot of coordination, using different parts of your limbs and different timing coordination. And so I think just, and as a child and growing up and being around that music, my brain absorbed the melodies, and I never really paid attention to the lyrics. And so it kind of helped me. It felt a little more natural performing instruments. And I found that if I didn't, let me backtrack a little bit. I started out on the trombone and learning how to read music and transcribe what you're seeing on paper to actually, performing it. But I found that rock music, the less I thought about it, the more natural it came in the performance. And so it was kind of this weird twist, almost like statistics kind of throws you off because it's a little bit different way of thinking about numbers. And so I just started running with it and went from the bass to the drums. And I always had these melodies in my mind. And so I picked up a guitar and taught myself a really guitar so I could turn those ideas into put pen to paper, and kind of just has taken on its own beast over the years, from starting at point A on the bass guitar to now being a songwriter and just a composer and arranger. I don't often get to play bass or drums as often as I would like these days.
Okay. Well, yeah, those are different skills, but it's really interesting that you were able to transition from one to the other and find your strength as songwriter and producer, did you say?
Yes, ma'am. When I first started producing my own music, I really liked to have everything laid out and mapped and charted out. I remember seeing one of my favorite bands growing up, and they literally had a song placed on a whole chart and line, rows and columns. And okay, by this part of the song and this movement, we're going to introduce this element. And that really, my mind just completely resonated with that. It just felt, I geeked out on it, and sometimes they say, a songwriter isn't the best performing artist, or the best performing artist can't write a song to save their life. And I feel very grateful to be able to harness both and just have fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. So tell me how that experience has gone the past few years and introduce to me your personal backstory that you alluded to, how your perspective has changed in recent years and how that's affected your music.
Sure. After I graduated college, I moved in with another good friend of mine coming out of high school, and he had just purchased some home recording equipment. And as soon as I moved in, he was working for the man, and they changed the schedule of second shift. So I'd come home, he'd be going to work, and I just, the world was my oyster. And he taught me a couple of little basics on how to get off the ground and just use the tools that he had available. And naturally, I was still in that hard rock mindset. And that's how I made my first record. And my friend Pat, who introduced me to the bands 10 years prior, that we all grew up with, he kind of joined the fold, and we worked on it together. And it was a very much of a team effort, even though all of the players involved weren't, and we weren't a band. We just kind of had fun with it and had no scope of what it would lead to where I am today. We were just simply passing the time and enjoying ourselves. And but that project just took off so fast. I think we were too young, have it too soon, and we just didn't quite really know what we had. And we won an award, and we were playing or performing all the time. And but people grow older, they change and move different paths in life, and we all kind of had creative differences, and we just decided to pursue our own thing. And that was an interesting time, because went from having a band to being a one guy, and then you have to, I still need to be playing music. I want to keep the lights on. And so I started playing covers a lot, because that was kind of the outfit at the time in this area. There wasn't a lot of, there wasn't an infrastructure that supported a full band per se, and so that was neat, because that kind of helped me gain more experience on learning how to be an entertainer, if you will, and you're a one man team. And but it just didn't feel right. Playing your own music, there's just this inherent drive, and you want to be the best at it, and it's yours, it's your baby. And so, as I was coming to this realization and trying to figure out, okay, how can I work smarter now? And boom, I found out that I had brain cancer, and it was a weird thing. It was a year-long process, but it seemed like I was the only one that really knew something was wrong. They say, you know yourself best. And we just kind of, my family and I were trying to dig into what was going on with me to try to understand and see if we could find a solution. And long story short, I feel like it was a blessing in disguise in hindsight, because it kind of did help me sh shift my priorities where I was naturally trying to move towards. And that was kind of a bridge that helped me move on from point A to point B. And so that's kind of been my priority now. My initiative is just to pursue my art and try to share that with the world. Because everybody, they all know all, Mary Jane's Last Dance and Call Me the Breeze, or still love those songs, but there's something about being able to share your own art that really moves me.
Can I ask what some of the things you were experiencing were when you realized that something was wrong, that you should
Sure.
be seeking a diagnosis?
Well, I'll start when I was performing, and I'd be singing and really feeling the moment, and the crowd would be into it. And all of a sudden, I'd get this frog in my throat and right into the mic, and it would just be so embarrassing. And I was like, man, I got to see what this is going, what this is, because I can't continue doing that. I thought it was maybe something I was doing. I wasn't warming up properly, or, et cetera. So it progressively developed into more extreme symptoms. What started out with like a just a gunk in my throat became started ex experiencing vertigo. I started having migraines, and I never suffered headaches my entire life up to that point. So it's kind of like, wow, that just went 0 to 100 really fast. And once I began started experiencing those symptoms, my primary care physician was like, well, maybe we should schedule you with an MRI. And at this point, it was like 6 months prior before we actually discovered the tumor. And long story short, I ran into a family member. I hadn't seen her in years. And I mean, she was a bombshell, just completely beautiful. And I didn't recognize her. I saw her children, they were my cousins. I was like, oh, what's going on? And she was like, hi. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she's like, yeah, didn't recognize me, could you? And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I felt really bad, you know? And, but she had just had her second brain operation for a brain tumor. And I started, you know, sharing my story with her. And she was like, well, if I could be of any testimony, don't put it off, you know, keep digging and try to find out what is going on with you, because you just might never know what it could be. And she ended up passing away from her third operation. It was a terrible thing, you know. And, but when I had my MRIs, they couldn't detect anything. My tumor was still undetectable. And but that was when the symptoms really geared up. So at the end of the run, you know, before we knew I had brain cancer, I looked like a lush drunk, you know. Any step I would take, I'd be going 3 or 4 steps to the left or right. The symptoms got so bad with the migraine, I couldn't drive anymore. It was affecting my sleep because I couldn't lay down. And by the grace of God, we got a last minute appointment with a neurologist. This is 5 months later, and originally he wanted to schedule me out several months in advance, late, you know, at a different time. But he got that last minute cancellation, and my now wife and my mother were just like, you know, really hard up trying to get this figured out. And immediately upon seeing me walk, he just knew. He's like, oh, well, I'm going to go ahead and schedule for an MRI tonight. And this was a Friday evening, seven. At night. And yeah, sure enough, they found it. And in that time, 5 to 6 months, it had grown to the size of a golf ball. And they're like, we're in rushing emergency surgery right now. And, you know, it was just kind of like, can't prepare for it. I mean, you're in the moment and you got to do what you got to do, and back's against the wall. And it was, it's an extremely rare case of cancer for an adult. Is predominantly found in children. And so that said, there was less than 100 documented cases worldwide, and they didn't know how to help me. And but they rushed me into emergency surgery. All the odds were against me, 50-50 chance to survive the operation, and if I survived, it'd be 1 in a million chance that I'd be the same again, walk or talk, let alone play music. And so it was just kind of like a lot thrown at me at once. And I feel like that. Oh,
What were
sorry.
you thinking when they tell you all of this?
I felt like a little tiny ant, you know. All ounce or sense of control gone. You know, you just kind of like had a complete loss. And I was very fortunate to have all my family there when the news broke out, you know. I think having them there to help me get through that, you know, and be there to hold me up and support me and love on me. I think that's another great blessing I try not to take for granted, you know. So I mean, at the end of the day, just with that experience as a whole, you know, I just had an out of body near death experience, and thankfully I came through unscathed. And because of that, you know, I definitely do my best to try to not take anything for granted. Been cancer free since 2019, and just grateful to still be here.
That's really amazing. I'm really glad that it worked and that you came out with the same abilities that you had going in. That's really wonderful.
Yeah, I was one. My wife woke up. She handed me some drumsticks. And I was like, playing drums in bed. I'm like, praise the Lord, I still got it. You know, like I was really, you know, I didn't know what to expect. And there's a lot of nurses throughout the whole hospital that kept coming into the room to visit with me. They're calling me a miracle boy. And I was just, everything was like at that moment, black and white. And then on, you know, I always kind of been naturally all or nothing. But right then and there, that's when I knew, like, it's not, you don't have to get so deep in the weeds with life, you know. Life is what you make it, and I was totally unable to understand that then.
That is a blessing to have a different perspective like that all of a sudden.
Sure, I mean, it really took me back. It's really like a bull by the horns before, trying to just live my best life every day and every moment, and now just trying to be smart with my time and be wise and really enjoy life and just not take anything for granted, because it really is short and flash before my eyes just like that, completely unexpected. And so to be able to still be here, my goal ultimately is to help children who fall victim to such circumstances and have personal struggles, health wise, or just, general with the hand they were dealt with in life. And it kills me that they have to go through that. I couldn't imagine being a parent and finding out that your child had a life-threatening ailment. And as an adult, I wasn't given a chance to grieve about it. And I'm really thankful for that too, because I know if I had time to think about it, we might not be here talking today, And out of that too, music still came to me naturally. And it's really nice to be able to still have that. And I'll still wake up in the middle of the night and I'll either be dreaming, and I'll write the lyrics down, or, the music's all around me. And I try to really rein it in sometimes,
Has your music changed at all since going through that?
Sure. I think it was a natural transition, going from a full rock band to being a one-man band. At the time, through that period in my life, I had met my now father-in-law, and he kind of really helped me find myself again. He is a hell of a musician, and he's been performing live for over 50 years of his life, and he taught me a lot, and more so just through experience. We're not really sit down like, hey, teach me how to do this, or we've just learned by performing together. So the past 9 years, we've performed over 400 shows together, and we really just threw ourselves on the stage and learned how to work together. And I feel like we've come up with a really cool and unique sound, and that's my passion project. We're called PAL, and we just released an EP this past April. And at that point, we just kind of released a couple of singles, but we're really consider ourselves performing artists. And but I also have this other side that I feel like I need to scratch the itch, and it's more of a more soul influenced music. My trademark is I'm being a passionate vocalist, and that's something I really wanted to embrace, having this newfound life, if you will. And yeah, it's kind of weird because the songs kind of went from this hard rock, all of a sudden it was flowing into this more rhythm and blues, and trying to develop a vibe and a feel to the music instead of just shooting from the hip, if you will, So,
I
yeah, that
think
kind of
that
blood.
kind of shows the change in your intention. I think that kind of mirrors it.
Interesting. Never
Kind
looked
of
at it that
strikes
way.
me that you had like you have a change of purpose a bit and that your music has changed too. To me,
I
that
bet
sounds
there's a lot of
similar.
truth in that. Wow, you kind of just blew me away. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I feel like at this stage of my life, I'm almost at the first time I'm doing this again. And as cliche as it might sound, getting a second chance again, I'm definitely trying to really embrace it for what it's worth, instead of just flying with the wind. And I've really been blessed to start working with Neil Greenhalgh, in Bentonville. He has a great high-end studio, and he just embraced me with open arms, invited me into the place. And I don't know what it was, but I felt at home there, and I feel like I really was able to blossom. And he embraced what I was able to offer, and he helped me grow into who I am today. I could write songs before and compose an arrangement, but getting to work with him and his team really kind of opened my eyes to the possibilities. And it's been a great learning experience, and we've amassed a little collection now. I've got a sixth song coming out soon that I recorded there, and really excited about it.
Well, would you tell me about your latest re release? I know you have to go in just a couple of minutes, but I'd love to hear about your song Truth, if you don't
Truth,
mind.
yes, ma'am. It kind of spontaneously presented itself one evening last year, and my father and I, we always bam back and forth writing lyrics together. His father was a songwriter. Well, naturally, I was a third generation songwriter, but long story short, he sent me these two stanzas, and the words just kind of slapped me really hard, and it was something fierce. And I found in those type of moments, like I noted earlier, I need to capitalize on the inspiration. And so I wrote the verse and the chorus for What Could Become Truth, and built the chord structure around the words that flowed, and it felt well, so. After taking a week crafting the arrangement of the song, my wife jokingly shared some words of what would become the pre-chorus. So at the end of the journey, it became a family affair, a first, if you will, involving, my father and my wife. And I don't take that lightly.
Yeah, that sounds really special.
Yeah, it was great. Don't know what to expect, I just tried to embrace it for what it is and really drive it home, and it was an awesome experience. And trying to think back, it was a different vibe from the previous record that I made with Neil. He let me run with it and drive the ship, and this time, he's like, "Let's see what I can do." And I'm like, "All right, let's go." And I feel like this one's going to hit different. And it comes out on September 20th.
Well, great. And where can people find it?
Well, it'll be available worldwide in the digital realm, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. But you want to go to my website, patryankey.com. You'll be able to pick your poison on how you like to listen to music. And we'll also have a music video coming out September 19th as well. Hopefully, build up the hype and we can all celebrate together.
Sounds great. I'll keep an eye out for it.
No problem. Thanks for having me today, April. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Pat.